Jarvis has got the ball on his feet, can't get the ball to the left foot, hit the shot, and as Avinci hit towards Bowen, cleared off the lane, but straight in there, Roy Patterson, who makes it 2-1 to Derry City. Roy Patterson is...
Right, good evening, everyone. Welcome to Drawing 105's Match Night Live preview show. Felix Healy in the chair, as usual, in Derry City and Bray tonight. A kick-off is about half an hour away. On the programme tonight, we'll obviously hear from Kenny Shields, the Derry City team boss. A wee bit later, we'll also hear Kenny's thoughts on the size of a new pitch at the Brandywell. We'll hear from a couple of the new signs, Owen Toll, who's basically it's been wrapped up this week. And Scotsman has joined the club. Not the first Scot to join Derry City, and I dare say he won't be the last. That's Darren Cole, who started life out at Ibrox, believe it or not. We'll be hearing from him a wee bit later on the programme. First of all, my guests this week are the former Derry City captain, Eamon Doherty, and the regular Match Night Live analyst, Eddie Sadak. Good evening, boys.
Evening, Felix. Mm-hmm.
Are you fitting well?
Flying.
Oh, yeah. You're flying. Mr. Doherty, are you playing a game tomorrow?
Yeah, we all put an appearance on, aren't we?
That's the Derry City against Glentoran, that Legends match tomorrow. Guys, a bit of a break. What's we hearing about tonight?
Well, the break sometimes works for you, sometimes it works against you. I mean, Derry had a good result the previous match. Funny enough, against Galway, it probably wasn't one of their best performances, but when you look at matches, especially the Bray match, who they're playing tonight, when they played exceptionally well and actually lost the match. So perhaps we're due a result like that when the performance wasn't perhaps what they wanted it, but the result came. And sometimes the break works for you. You need a rest to rejuvenate yourself. But sometimes when you've got a bit of momentum going, you know, you don't really want a break. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes tonight.
Yeah, Kenny didn't really want a break, Eamon, did he?
Given
the seasons that it's been.
I think it's sort of start-stop for Derry due to difficult circumstances around the club, but I did think it was a good time for the players because they were in the spotlight the last time they had the break, the whole thing about Ryan McBride and all the media attention, and just due to a few injuries as well, long term, Ray Parsons, give them a few players to get back as well. All my feet players who had picked up an injury, a groin injury the week before as well, and he was out of the game, so I think just give the players an opportunity to regenerate themselves, take a couple of days away and come back. Now, you would say Kenny's noticed a difference when they have come back. There's probably appetite there, and they finished off with a positive result as well, which also helps. So players be keen to get back at it. I think it gave him a great time.
Now, will Rory Patterson be out and about tonight? Is he okay?
I don't think he's fully fit. I think they don't want to bring him back even a week early, just in case they exacerbate the injury. But as soon as he is fully fit, I imagine he'll be back in the team, because he was, before his injury, he was doing quite well.
And the goal's dried up.
Well, it's hard to replace a 15-20 goal a season, man.
Guys, we'll get your thoughts on... first of all, let's get Kenny's thoughts. Paddy caught up with him yesterday. Let's hear his thoughts ahead of tonight's match.
That season break over, but you've been busy during it with three recent signings. Tell me about your recent signings.
We've signed two development players and one more experienced player. With not only has he played at the highest level in Scotland, he's played in Europe as well, and he's actually played under me, so I know qualities that he brings, and they're all good pedigree. You'll see that when you see them on the pitch and get working with them in July. It'll not bear fruit to them, so I think we've got my thoughts are more on the present at the moment and how we can keep ourselves up in the top 4, 5, 6 positions for a real fight towards the end of the season.
Tomorrow night, away to Bray, the Kildare Grounds. Of course, they're a team that has fluttered in the last few weeks, picking up 6 points from 21. But they're sitting below you on the table. Is this a potential 6-pointer for you tomorrow night?
Yeah, it's a very pivotal point of the season for both Derry City and Bray, because you know they have the motivation that if they beat us, they go third again. So we have the motivation that we can get potentially closer to Dundalk. And that's our aim, and we're going there with a freshness I'm sure all the teams will have. I've seen the training ground this week's been very intense and hard working, and attitudes have been outstanding. The togetherness of the team have been very, very good, and I feel a fresh energy about the place, which is good.
Before the break, you were hoping to have Rory Patterson back this week. Is he any closer to coming back, and is there any fresh injuries?
He's closer to coming back, yes. Dean Jarvis is ill today and didn't train, but he was there. So he got a look and a picture of what we're preparing for tomorrow night. I'm confident Dean will be okay. So let's hope that he is. But with Ben Doherty come in and the detail of our work, and Ben's a very good young player, so Dean doesn't make it, Ben comes in, and that's the position that the young boys have put themselves in, which is great.
Right, that's Kenny Shields talking to Paddy Cook yesterday. Eamon, I think it's a sign of the times, the signings that have been made, two relatively untried, and a guy from Scotland who's been playing junior football, a sign of the times at the Brandywell?
I don't know, I think the way Kenny signed players in the past, you know, he's definitely thinking on the future. I'm sure he's had a bolster his squad now with the league games and obviously the European games coming up. And as you know, Kenny will give young players a chance, and he's about development, and that's, I'm sure, a lot of young players around here have been thankful for. And obviously he's added two more to his squad. As he says, they're development players, but, you know, and he signed an experienced player that he knows. So he obviously knows the qualities that they have, and I'm sure he's done his research around all these players to bring them on the squad, and hopefully they'll be a good addition. But I would say that a lot of teams now, recruitment is a big thing, and the days of going out and paying for players are gone. So it's obviously it's your talent ID and your recruitment is a big thing. So hopefully there is a step like Eamon, and these two young players will be a good asset, and obviously hopefully beneficial to the club for years to come.
As someone who's detached a bit from the football scene, Eddie, like I have at this minute, it seemed a bit strange to me, because I keep hearing things about Derry's youth setup, about the kids that you and John Quigg have coming through, and there's so many good young fellows locally, and then this young fellow from Armagh arrives on the scene. It doesn't seem to fit somehow.
We certainly would like all our players. In an ideal world, the whole team would come from the northwest here, but the match against Galway, for example, 9 of the squad came in through us, which is unprecedented with any other club. But there's always going to be, if there's some player, no matter where he comes from, that would enhance your squad, it'd be foolish to say, I'm not taking him because he's from Armagh. So nobody has a problem with that. If he's a top quality player, Kenny Shields has obviously went and watched him, thinks he's a good one from the future, and we're quite happy with him signing.
The one thing I would say is you can't be developing all the time.
Well, you can't be developing.
You know, you can hide behind that for a while.
Well, I don't think Kenny's hiding behind anything, because they finished third in the league last season. I think they're sitting third at the minute with a very young squad, very inexperienced squad. So he's actually blending both the development side and the progressive side in the one go. So I think there's very few people who can complain at the minute.
Right, one of the guys who's been, I think he's been at the club for quite a while now, is Owen Toll. That's the young fella from Armagh, but it's finally been wrapped up this week. And Gary Ferry caught up with Owen the other day.
So Owen, welcome to Derry City. Looking forward to getting started.
Yeah, I can't wait to start getting playing. I've been up here a month now, so hopefully, you know, I'm starting to know the boys now really, really well, and starting to get my bearings about Derry, so just looking forward to getting started, start playing, hopefully.
And you know Kenny Shields from before?
Yes, I knew Kenny before, just briefly. I don't know Kenny Shields, but no, he came down to watch me a couple of times, and he was like really seen, so looking forward to the new adventure up in Derry City.
Mm. And you say you've been here a month, you've got to know all the teammates, right? Yeah. Was it exciting to get started?
Yeah, it is. The way I can't play matches to the July is a bit of a killer, but looking forward to starting playing again. Obviously playing matches is different than training every day, but training, getting your sharpness and stuff up, so good, is it?
Mm. Has it helped you as such a young squad, like players around for your age, yeah, instead of coming into a very experienced team?
Yeah.
So it'd be easier for you to settle on?
Most of the experienced players are around a couple of years older than me, so which is good, and they're helping me in around the team and all, so I've been enjoying it so far anyway.
That's Jim Flow on tour, who'd be glad to get on the pitch, Eddie. You know what it's like when you're that age and you've just come to a big club and it's finally wrapped up and you've been training away. Can't wait to get out there.
Definitely. He's trained with us in Colmes College a couple of times. He looks a good player, and I've no doubt we'll probably play him in the under-19 league because he's young enough to do that, and hopefully he'll develop into a future star for Derry.
Hey, Eamon, young Ben, your young kid, any reports on what he's looked like in training?
Well, I think Ben knew him and was aware of him before he came, because there was a lot of interest, I think, from in England and stuff and other clubs. I think Ben speaking to him more or less that he said that he was interested in going full time here, and that Derry proved a great option for him. So, but he says that he looks strong. Obviously, he's a big lad, but probably the biggest person at the club at the minute. And he says,
right,
a young boy, go and hit the ball well. But he says he should be a great asset to the club, you know.
One of the other signings Kenny's made this week is a Scot that he knows only too well. He's Darren Cole, and Kevin McLaughlin managed to catch up with him the other day as well.
You know quite a few of the Scots lads, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as I said, Nicky Lowe, Harry. I actually spoke to Harry as soon as I heard, I spoke to Kenny about coming down. So it was easier for me, obviously, deciding to come down if I'm knowing a couple of the boys there. Nicky obviously played with him at with Scotland in the 19s, and I've played with Harry at Livingston.
You were ex-Rangers too, isn't that right?
Yeah, ex-Rangers, was there full time for about 5-6 years, and then played a good 6-7 first team games with them. Then I was at Livingston, played a good 30-40 games there, so yeah, played a lot of games.
And you've obviously, you know, you were talking there earlier about Cork of what were well ahead of you. You know the standard yeah. Isn't enough, like.
See, the thing is, before even coming anywhere near, like, here in Ireland, you never hear a lot from Scotland. You don't know how good the standard is. Obviously, training the first couple of days, you actually realise how good the boys are. And if you're seeing that there's a couple of teams above us and looking striding away with the league, it's going to be a great standard. It's going to be good, and it's going to help me and push me on as well.
From your point of view, is it a case now of just wanting to get playing, basically? Mm-hmm. You know, you're ready to play, is that the case, or how far do you think you're away?
Well, as I said, I've been junior there for a season, and you know, it's no full time. I'm not training every day. I'm training twice a week, so that's going to mean my legs are going to feel a bit more heavier and whatever. So I think it's just going to be the training wise, I think it's going to be quite hard. I think after 2 or 3 weeks, I should be up to match pace, and then the games will probably take care of itself.
How long are you signing for the season?
I'll just be to the end of the season, right, and then just see how it goes. If I'm doing well, or whatever Kenny wants, we'll speak about that and see.
At the end of the season, right. But it's a case now, you know, obviously you're coming here, but you want to get back to Scotland, you want to get back to full time in England or whatever.
Yeah.
So you want to do well here at the end of the day.
I think everyone wants that, but the main thing is you need to play. You need to play. There's no point in playing half a dozen games or a dozen games. You need to play mostly every single game to get yourself a move, and here's a great place to start.
You're looking at things now, and Harry would have talked about the club and Nicky, and you know, they're up there. You're coming in now to a league European run, you've got the cup starting up, you know, there's still a lot going on here, a lot to play for.
Yeah, as well, when you hear the clubs anywhere near Europe, that makes you want to come even more. Obviously, it's getting through the rounds. Let's be honest, for the club, you're not wanting the best team, obviously. You want to try and get a lower team in the first couple of rounds, get through and make the group stages.
And it's a case now of just getting game time. That's what you really need now, basically.
Yeah. I need to play every game, you know, train, no injuries, if you touch wood, no injuries, and should be flying, should do well.
Best position, right back, centre half, what's your best?
For myself, the fitter I am, obviously, I'll be playing fullback. Just now, I think I would be good enough centre half. Probably centre half just now, yeah.
Right, that's one of the latest light of. It's a good job we couldn't put that on air. back with Eddie Sadak and Eamon Doherty just chatting there about the game, which we did. Those conversations are actually better than some of the ones we have on air. Darren Cole, Kenny obviously knows him, Eddie. Has a wee bit of experience. Is he 25. So it's a wee bit of experience, but he's been playing junior stuff, has he?
He has recently. He's been playing for a team called Broxbourne. But to be fair, that level's fairly good in Scotland anyway. And he's had a good bit of experience for other senior teams. Kenny says he knows him. So his recruitment to be over the whole has been very good. So hopefully it's a hole that needed filled, to be fair to the club. And hopefully he'll do that.
Well, obviously, because of the Ryan situation, there has been a serious boy there, to put it mildly. And there's a wee bit of experience needed there, Eamon.
Yeah, experience needed. I think it's the cover as well, you know, the options. There's a lot of games coming up, and there was a void there. There was no cover. People were playing out of position. And obviously, it was unforeseeable circumstances, but hopefully they've plugged that gap away with another option, another centre half. Well, you've two centre halves on there with a young guy to all as well, you know. So
yeah, and Kenny likes it, but like a lot of people, it's coming back into. It's like I say, it football's like fashion. There's things that come and go, and the three at the back and all of that kind of stuff. Chelsea did it and won the league. And of course, I once said that if Ferguson decided to play two at the back, people would be trying it the following week.
Mm-hmm. To be fair to Kenny, It depends on his opponents. He's very much into watching his opponents and tailoring your performance or your team shape to suit who you're playing. And it's worked very well so far. He spends a lot of time. We've talked about earlier off air, even Felix, about attention to detail. And I think you could Kenny's a master at that.
Yeah. Those things always come into play when you're going well. Only, you know, nobody talks about your attention to the detail when you get stuffed. It's amazing that, isn't it? I just say to the boys here, folks, or anybody listening, that but when people win the league, like Mourinho's attention to detail is partly second to none. And yet everybody else in the division, their attention to detail is exactly the same as his. He's just got better players. And when Mourinho wins, when Mourinho's team wins, it's all about his tactical genius. When they lose, it's the players' fault. You know, it's amazing. Right, moving quickly on. I could rant all here.
Don't we know?
I could rant here all day. The game's about players and always will be. Yes. There are other teams playing tonight, by the way. Here's James O'Toole with his roundup. It's always better at holiday.
So much better at holiday. Thanks very much, Felix. Well, the break is over and now it's a race to the finish line for all 12 Premier Division clubs. And before we go any further, let's get some housekeeping out of the way. With their win over Dundalk before the break, I feel we can officially announce Cork City as the 2017 Premier Division champions. Unless we see a collapse of Theresa May proportions, there's no hope in hell of anybody catching the Leasiders. So anyway, on to tonight's preview. And first up, it's another Dublin derby, this time between St. Pat's, who are welcoming Bohemians to Inchicore. The last time these two sides met will mostly be remembered for a wonder strike from Colin Byrne. The Pats midfielder scored from his own half and also bagged another in their 4-0 win over the Fisborough side. So revenge will definitely be on the mind of one or two of those Bohemians players. With both sides up and down form, it will be interesting to see how they start back after the break. Both sit in 7th position, 4 points above the relegation zone. But for the home side, they're in real trouble, and a win is a must for them and to put behind the early season form and climb out of the bottom three. Expect a very tactical game and one which might well have a pre-season feel to it. Up next, and it's another derby, as Drogheda welcomed their loud neighbours Dundalk to United Park. As I've already mentioned, Cork City are the 2017 champions, so for Stephen Kenny's men, it's now a case of securing second place in the league. They will of course still try to close a gap, but try as they may, it won't be close enough to retain their crown. For the Lily Whites, it will all be about Europe and Cups from now on. But for Pete Mann and his Drogheda side, it's about survival. They started the league in fine form and looked like they would easily stay away from the drop zone. But as is with life, it eventually catches up with you, and they're now in the battle to stay up. Sitting in 9th position, just 1 point ahead of 10th, you know every point is vital. But unfortunately for them, Dundalk will be out to prove they haven't gone away, so they could find themselves well back in the bottom three come 9:30 tonight. Next up is the meeting between Finn Harps and Shamrock Rovers in Finn Park. When Harps travelled to Dublin earlier on in the season, they left Tala on the wrong side of a 3-2 loss. It was probably the best performance I've seen from a Harps side in years. They went behind to 2 early strikes, but from then on controlled the game, got right back in it in the second half and should well have won it. But football is a funny old game, and a Simon Madden strike in the 92nd minute cost the Ballybuffet men the point they at least deserved. So I fully expect this to be drilled into them during the break, and I expect them to come out all guns blazing and get Rovers on the back foot straight away. For Stephen Bradley's men, they need to find some kind of consistency. They've been blown between scalding hot and Baltic cold so far, and once again they saw another stupid sending off before the break that sees them with the worst disciplinary record in the league. And speaking of discipline, due to the red and yellow cards, both sides will be missing 8 players, 4 each, from tonight's game. So expect some new faces and a different setup, to say the least. On to the last of tonight's games, as Champions Cork welcome Limerick to Turner's Cross. This also has an 8 o'clock kickoff and is live on Air Sport. So feel free to listen to Drive's Match Night Live commentary from Bray while you have this on in the background. Cork have had a great first half of the season and built up a lead that will not be closed down. And with the news they will hold on to Sean Maguire and Kevin O'Connor until the end of July, they could well be far enough ahead to lose the rest of their games and still win. For Limerick, they've had some good results of late, and a win against Bray before the break was a real rollercoaster game of ball. 8 goals in total, with 2 coming in injury time, saw them run out 5-3 winners over what was an informed Bray. That result saw them climb to 6, just 5 points off a European spot. These sides have already met twice this season, once in the league and once in the EA Sports Cup, with Cork running out 3-0 winners on both occasions. Unfortunately for Limerick, I can only see this going one way tonight as well. Another home win for John Caulfield's men. And finally tonight, we'll look a quick look ahead to tomorrow night's game in the show rounds. As Sligo Rovers welcome Galway United to town. Both these sides have been in and around the bottom three since the league started back in February. One club decided to change management team, while the other one is stuck as it was in the beginning. And once they did change management, Sligo's performances have been better, although the nil-all draw with Hearts before the break was described by their gaffer, Jared Little, as the worst game of football he has ever watched. It was so bad that he was surprised the crowd stayed awake during it, as he was struggling to do so on the bench. For Galway, they've had some good results, but they can't seem to get a run together and will need to put an end to their current losing streak, which is now at 3 games. So a win tomorrow night is vital for both sides, so expect a very attacking game of football which produce a handful of goals. Well, that's your lot from me this week. Until next week, it's back to you in the studio, Felix.
Right, thank you very much, James. Talk about Jared Little, ex-Cliftonville manager. Apparently that match at Sligo Harps was diabolical.
I was speaking to somebody that was down at it, and they says it wasn't the most entertaining spectacle they've ever been at. So I think there was enough said.
Young Maguire, no surprise that he's going back to England?
I don't think so. Obviously, with so many goals he scored and the press all around him, the international call-up and all this year. And I think, to be honest, I did hear that he had something wrote under his contract, that if some club did come up and offered him the price the press had paid, that he could go. So, obviously, he's probably keen to get back to England as well, because he's in top form at the moment and sees all opportunities. Latitude and dog players went to Preston and pushed on, got international recognition. Sure, I think it's no surprise that he has gone. And as we just talked about as well, I think with Cork so far ahead as well, they have other options, they can fill that void. But
well, the league's over anyway.
Oh, I think so. I would imagine if the league wasn't over, that they wouldn't be so keen on letting Maguire go, regardless of what was in his contract. There would be a bit of coming and going, but I think the distance from themselves and Dundalk, who are their only real realistic challenger, I think is gone.
I saw Young Maguire play at 16 at Waterford, and he was sensational. Mm-hmm. Sensational. I was amazed he would come back so quick. But sometimes that happens with kids; they can't settle.
It's surprising the last game he did play to. He scored a hat trick against Dundalk near the club, but let him go.
Let him go. it's the old story. Sometimes you fit somewhere. We're just talking about that actually, about how some players just seem to adapt to a particular club or whatever, and a way of playing, and this, that, and the other. But Harps going to have Rovers tonight. Hopefully it's a better game than the ones Jared Little watched a couple of weeks ago.
It's going to be difficult. I think Rovers are pushing towards the top end of the table, and perhaps have had a few decent results. They're hard to beat, especially at home. So I'm quite sure they'll be quite confident of getting something out of the game.
I think about Harps, I think they're 4 suspended tonight as well. So it's
going to be tough. Difficult for them. They can't really afford it. Yeah. And young Michael Fonson's retired, Eddie.
Well, let's bring back some memories, Felix. I think we brought him into the team when we were down there. He's had a good year, a good career. He's played umpteen games. He left briefly, I think, to go to the Irish League at Dungannon. But he came back again to Harps. He's always been a Harps man, to be as a supporter, even before he signed for the club. So whatever he does, I hope we wish him well anyway.
Well, his new baby and all of that, Eddie, you know what happens. Life goes on, you get older, isn't that right, Eamon? Listen, we're going to touch on something now that obviously I'm from the Lomer Road and family's still up there, whatever, and watching the new developments and everything else. When I saw the size of the new stand that's been built, Mickey Mouse came to mind. And I think a lot of people, when they saw the artistic drawings, weren't happy with the stand. I'm not sure whether it's been left or it can be added to or whatever, but apparently it's 900. It seats 900 or something. It doesn't look the biggest, with a lot of stuff on social media, but it doesn't look as if it's going to be the biggest pitch in the world. And first, we'll get your reaction. Let's hear what Kenny makes of it. Packy spoke to him about the size of the pitch.
Kenny, concerns about the length of the new pitch in the Brandywell. I think it's going to be about 105 metres in length and 68 metres wide. What's your thoughts on the pitch? Knowing that your team likes to play on a big pitch.
Well, we can play on any pitch. That's the way the boys have been coached. I'll add that in. But I'm from the Imperial age group, so I'd better go and do my conversion. I hope that's about 120 by 75. That would be the width is fine, maybe a little bit longer, but that's just me looking at it a little bit blind. So I would need to be on the pitch measuring it. Most pitches are 70 to 72 yards wide, so that falls pretty good. That's pretty good width. I'm happy with the width. I think the length is might be a little bit short, but we'll have a look. I'm not complaining, I just need to look. I don't want to be critical or say anything negative about the pitch size, because it takes away from the prospects of positivity going into a refurbished stadium, and everybody's excited about that. I'm not going to put any dampers on it. I'm more interested this weekend after the match to go to Bishop's Field and lend some support to the McBride Foundation. So that's where I'll be. I'll measure the Bishop's Field on Saturday at 2 o'clock kickoff, getting my plugs in, and then I'll look at ways to see if we can adapt to something a little bit bigger than that.
That's Kenny talking about the Brandywell and the size of the pitch and whatever. Guys, the 105 metres by 68 metres is apparently, I'm not too sure whether that's the size of the pitch or it is going to be the size of the AstroTurf area, where the pitch is going to be within that, and if that's the touchline. Now, we know from playing AstroTurf surfaces, they're what they call a fast pitch. For anybody who doesn't know what a fast pitch is, it means that the ball moves quickly around the place, so yeah, you're moving quicker. Just to give you an example, for example, anybody goes to Finn Park early in the season, it's a pudding of a pitch and it takes you ages to move the ball around the pitch. It's what they call a dead, very slow pitch, where AstroTurf pitch is the exact opposite. And when it's like that, you need a bigger area. And it's one of the mistakes that people make when they do an AstroTurf pitch, they don't make it big enough. The size, Eddie, does size matter?
Well, and generally it does, but it's how you use the size as well is going to be very important. I mean, Derry play good football, they get it on the ground. Kenny's philosophy is gets it from the goalkeeper, they move it about. In my opinion, the bigger the pitch, the better it suits Derry.
Well, particularly with AstroTurf, Eddie. AstroTurf is a pitch which is rock hard and moves about. Mm-hmm. I mean, you go to Dundalk, they're watering the pitch for 3 hours before the match. No, well, there's a reason for that.
Oh, that's right. It helps, but to be fair, Dundalk's old pitch, Oriel Park, was absolutely shocking. That was the old type of plastic pitch.
You can imagine what that was like when they didn't water it.
No, I think it does run. There's a lot of fast ball. You know, if you play the ball, a lot of time if you play it in the space, it just tends to run out. But the bigger the pitch, you know, obviously that helps you. It gives you a bit more space to play in. But you just have to adapt to what you're given. I don't think the club would have had too much say in the size of the pitch.
Why not, Eamon? I mean, I would have thought one of the difficulties that I have with this is it again? It's probably something that's been done without asking the football people.
I'm just surprised that this hasn't been.
I'm amazed that it's not.
It hasn't been consulted at the planning stage, because you know if you're the home team, you know it's all our teams dictate the size of the pitch because they have control. But when you're probably just a key tenant because of somebody else owns the pitch, but surely you should have a say in this, and if you can use it to your advantage. If it's your home ground, then you should have a say in it. You know what I mean? And as Derry, as you know, they Kenny likes the pitches big. And when the dogs hike away, you know, you think there'd be multiple room there to make the pitch whatever size that you want it to be within the guideline specifications. So can't see why they're talking or arguing about it at this stage.
Yeah, it's going to be, for example, it's going to be a lot narrower than McGinn Park is.
McGinn Park is 75 metres wide, which is the largest in the country. And it'll be interesting, as you said earlier, if the actual dimensions were given, does that include the runoff area, or is that the actual line to line dimensions? So we won't know, I suppose, until it's up and running.
It's going to be interesting, and as I say, I've been amazed that this hasn't been. I know a number of people have voiced concerns about the social media, but the size of the stand, size of the pitch looks going to be low and tiny. And as I say, for anybody that's played in AstroTurf, AstroTurf does make a pitch smaller anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, well, That's, well, I've had a few rants today, guys.
Just a few.
Just a few. It's not like me, Mr. Doherty. Listen, good luck tomorrow in the match.
I'm sure I'll see you there.
The Glens. Well, I'm not too sure I'll be at the match. I'll be up in Badgers and calling up to see a few old friends. But I don't think I'll be able to make the match tomorrow. The knees are not capable anymore, but that's another story. Kick off in the Carlisle Grounds will be still the Carlisle Grounds, is it? Yes. And Bray, is it? Is it? As long as it's you were there, Mr. Sadak.
I think I went with you. To be fair, that's how long ago that was. We went together. So.
When we both had hair, with black hair. Guys, thanks very much. As always, the kickoff is about 15 minutes away. Much like commentary team tonight, the two Kevins, I believe. And we'll be joining them very shortly. First of all, we'll have a word from our donors. Bye for Maimon and Eddie and yours truly. Bye for now.